Welcome, everyone. Good afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or good evening to all our international listeners, too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Monday, 4 p.m. Melbourne, Australia time, and Sunday, 11 p.m. Central Time in the US and Canada for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. This show is back on the road after a few hiccups here in Australia, being suspended and censored and things. So thank you, BBS, for getting us back up and running. But also, there's just been a few of my family and friends who have supported me and helped me to get this back on the road and have sponsored some of the shows. So I would like to thank our sponsor for today. Her name is Adele. She's a dear friend of mine. We've traveled similar roads for a long, long time, and she has the biggest heart ever, and she's a lovely, lovely woman. I love having her in my life. So thank you, Adele, for sponsoring today's show. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo, breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential. My guests are here to tell their story, to reveal how they have overcome change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, others, to inspire you with their stories. And this show embodies the spirit of love, respect, and compassion. And with that in mind, let me introduce today's guest. We've got Anthony, who I call the weatherman, with us. He's a very interesting man. Not only has he spent 30 plus years overseeing our weather systems here in Australia and forecasting, I must say, with great accuracy, he's also watched the weather landscape change dramatically. So he's going to talk to us about geoengineering, chemtrails, and more shenanigans that are going on with our weather. But on another note, he's also a bit of a sleuth. He has been aware that another game is being played out behind the scenes of our government, our banking systems, our health systems, all of those sorts of things. And he's been one step ahead of the changes that we're rolling out, and he's still one step ahead. So he's going to give us an exclusive into what is happening with our banking systems here in Australia. But you're going to have to stay tuned to the end of the show to hear all about that. So having said all of that, Anthony, welcome.
Thank you, Helen, and thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. What did you think about your intro?
I thought it was pretty good. Very good. Pretty good summation, I reckon. Yeah, lots going on, and there's a lot of things going on. And the amazing thing about life is you learn all the time. It doesn't matter how old you are, you continually learn. And that's what we've really found over the last, well, particularly in the last 10 years, but you're always learning and learning new things. So it's good to share these things with people.
So let's go back though, firstly, let's go back to young Anthony. Do
Sure.
you think that young Anthony was actually headed on a road being prepared for what's been happening with you?
Yes and no. So just to start my journey, I'm from the Yarra Valley in Melbourne as a strawberry farmer. We had a family business and I was on the farm. So I learned a lot of life skills on the farm.
For sure.
Dad taught me a lot of things, how to hunt, how to, work hard. I've been working since I was 10. Just all these life skills. So I had pretty good skills to survive, as you would say, life in general. That's sort of taken a little bit of a turn in the last decade or so, but I was aware of a lot of things, thanks to my dad, of what was happening behind the scenes. And it sort of all ties in with what we're going to talk about today, because being on the farm, I was able to watch the weather closely. By the time I was 15, I was out forecasting the Weather Bureau, putting forecasts up at school, and the kids at school couldn't believe that I was out forecasting the Weather Bureau. So I got to know the guys at the Weather Bureau as well, because I was writing them letters all the time saying, listen, I'm doing this. You've got supercomputers. I'm doing it by, just knowledge and all this sort of thing. So, to answer your question, certainly I've been well equipped. Farming life, I definitely say, helped me in that regard because you're awake to a lot of things when you're a farmer because you see nature, you see life, you understand about organics and chemicals and all these things. And that's really coming into play now, what we learned back in the day. So, yeah, to answer your question, definitely, it has helped.
Yeah, because I know I've spoken to a couple of people in my life who went back and lived on the land and said that not immediately, but after a few years of being disconnected from the bigger world at large, nature started talking to them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's correct. And we see changes in nature all the time. And when you're a farmer, you really notice them. And I noticed, and this is going to tie into what we're going to talk about today, the weather changed in January 1990. And there was a really clear, and I was talking about this to someone yesterday, a really clear time frame of when the weather started to change. And as I said, I was 15 or 16 at that time, and I was really taking a lot of notice in the weather. And being on the farm, we needed to know what the weather was doing for our strawberry farm, of course.
Of course.
And in January 1990, we had the first January with no rain ever in Victoria recorded in the Yarra Valley.
Me.
And we were trying to work out what was going on. So the weather looked normal, but it wasn't behaving normally. Now that we get back the benefit of hindsight, of course, chemtrailing began in 1990, or late 80s, 1990, and that's when it all started.
Well, right. I didn't know the actual.
Yes, so that was, but you don't realise at the time, you sort of tie it in later on.
Well, when I started researching it, I found that there were people at Monash University here in Victoria that had been running studies and things, even as early as the 1970s. They were looking into geoengineering, and I reached out to a number of them, wanting to talk to them, and nobody wanted to talk to me.
There's a very good reason for that. There's a very good reason for that. It's obviously, well, it's an open secret that it's a secret, if you know what I mean.
Right.
They're not
So,
allowed to speak about it. I've spoken to many people. I'm very lucky in my profession that I've got to meet a lot of people.
yes.
And later on, I'll tell you a story about a politician who actually came to me asking me about this stuff about 7 years ago. We'll go through that later on.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm lucky I get to speak to a lot of people, and I've spoken to people who know what's going on, and they're not allowed to speak about what is actually happening.
God, they're all gagged.
They are. So, unfortunately, that's where it sits at the moment. But we do know these things are happening.
So, okay, I know that in 1970 they were starting to do some experimentation and stuff, but that was up North Queensland way. But I couldn't ever get any great evidence about that. But you're saying, okay, chemtrails started in 1990. So that was the first January as a family and as farmers, you noticed no rain. So, how did you discover that?
Well, at the time, we just tried to work out what was actually happening because I was looking at the cloud formations and just looking at nature, and everything indicated rain, and yet the clouds would develop every afternoon as they normally would during the summer, and we never got a drop of rain. And I remember the nights were unusually warm, and I did think to myself that something just didn't feel right, and of course, I had no idea what it was. And of course, I thought maybe it was the Antarctic Oscillation or, you know, the Atlantic going into its cooler phase or warmer phase may have affected our weather patterns. As it turns out, it was something a little bit different. There was a bit of shenanigans going on, which we know about now. So
And
that
how
was when
did
it all
you
started.
find out? How did you find out about the shenanigans?
Well, it's a funny story because so my father was president of Strawberries Australia for 15 years. He actually ran the industry for quite a long time, between 2002 and 2016.
Fabulous.
And he used to sit on a lot of committees and actually used to have meetings with government ministers and all these sort of people. And around about 2008, he actually came home from one of these meetings and said to us, you know, they're trying to take water off farmers. And I said, why would they be doing that if we're going to expand the population and, you know, we need crops and food for people?
Yes.
And he said, and he mentioned something, he said, it's all about Agenda 21. And this was 2007, and I thought, Agenda 21, what's Agenda 21? And of course, we had YouTube began in 2005, so that's the first thing you do. You go in there and start researching, and in a couple of years, I quickly found out what was happening, and from there, then I started to get into everything else that was going on, and it all sort of connected.
Jeep.
So it connected to that, and that's where we're going to get to, obviously, in this discussion, where we're going and where it's going and where it's gone. But that was pretty much it, Helen. It was probably 2007 when Dad mentioned it, that it sort of set me down a path.
Yes.
And from there on, my life changed completely. So the last 20 years has just been research, learning these new things, speaking to people. It gets worse and worse as you go because you find out more information, you know, to the point now where it's really difficult to actually farm because the weather patterns are so manipulated and all these sort of things. So,
So
but yeah.
What's your passion? Like, because you're a bit like me. As soon as you push the right button, boom, off we go, right? So what's your passion here with this?
Well, at the time, when it really became evident, so in 2019, I was told by a professor at a university what was actually happening, and it had to stay off the record, and I couldn't mention it, of course. Well, I could mention it, but not mention their name. That really drove me on a path to think, well, is my goal here to actually wake everybody up? Is it actually to tell people, listen, I know you think people are crazy, but this thing is really going on. I've been told that it's going on. It's obvious that it's going on if you actually look. Maybe it's time to sort of tell people. So I did. I sort of ended on a path, and it cost me quite a bit of business, actually. A lot of subscribers decided they didn't want to subscribe any longer.
Well, people don't want to be associated with kooks, do they, Anthony?
They don't. But you know what the funny thing is, Helen? In the last 5 years, they've all come back and said you were actually correct about all this stuff,
Yeah, I know, I know. And
right?
that's the risk we take, isn't it? At
That's
first.
right. And at the time, I was happy to take that risk because I thought I like to sleep at night and I like to have a clear conscience. And if I know something, I'd like to tell people.
Sure.
And I knew this for a fact because the professor that actually told me wouldn't be lying about it.
Yes.
From there, it sort of started the ball rolling where I started telling them. So my passion is probably, my big passion is still weather forecasting in itself.
Right, yes.
Because I'm really good at it. So I've really able to identify 12 months out what the weather's going to do. And that I've got, just so that everyone knows, I've got nearly 1,000 subscribers across the entire country.
Yep.
And they're all farmers. And I'm able to give them good information and honest information.
They
I
need
think.
your information at the moment because I don't know about other listeners out there, but what I found, and you'll probably be able to answer this for me, I used to be able to look at my app on my phone with great, confidence that whatever it said was going to be happening. Now I've found that at least in the last 6 months, it's unreliable.
Absolutely. And this is not an accident. And I've been pointing this out for a long time. As I'm sure you and your listeners are aware, there's a lot of deception going on today. And it spreads into the weather sector as well. You've got to remember, farmers are making multi-million dollar decisions on the back of the BOM forecast.
BOM being the Bureau
The
of
Bureau of Meteorology, correct. So they're making decisions based on these forecasts. And if they are told that it's going to be a wet year, they will make decisions based on a wet year. Whereas I can tell if they're lying or not, and that's why I've been so popular, and I have so many subscribers and clients because people want to know the correct information. So as part of my service, I talk to people on the phone all the time. I do meetings like this. I have guys in New South Wales, for example, that have got 30 people in their group, and we do a monthly Zoom catch up, and they can ask me directly what's happening. So yeah, it's good
So
in that regard.
the Bureau of Meteorology here in Australia, I know, has been overhauled a number of times in the past few years because I've been watching it regularly myself and thinking, what's going on? I can't even remember what I'm seeing on there. Now the maps have changed, the images have changed. So our apps are unreliable. The BOM situation, that whatever's online, is unreliable as well.
That's correct.
The weather is now unpredictable, where it used to be very predictable. So you're saying all of this is by design?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would say it's unpredictable to the person who's not educated. It's very predictable to me. Because I can see, I've in the last 5 or 6 years, the climate's certainly changed, and it's been changed, obviously. And I can see those changes happening in real time. And I can identify when I see a Bureau of Meteorology forecast, I can see the flaws in that forecast, right? So, and I've got this theory that the computer models that they're using are deliberately not adjusted to today's climate. So what they're forecasting is a forecast which doesn't actually come off because of whatever reason, and I can identify that ahead of time.
That answers that for me, right? Because I just want people to know out there too that they're not going stupid, because I was thinking, gosh, I used to be able to rely on these things and I can't rely on them at all. But I went a little further and started investigating it a bit, which is not what everybody does. And you and I come from a generation where I remember growing up as kids, and even as teenagers and young adults, the weather was so predictable that whatever happened in Adelaide was going to happen the next day in Victoria. You knew that the transit of the weather.
We are so far removed from that, Helen, today that it's not funny, as I'm sure you're aware. It was, as a youngster when I grew up, when I had this passion, it was so different. It was so predictable. the spring would always be full of thunderstorms. September would always be a rainy month.
Yep.
Those days are finished.
Yeah, okay.
Now it's all about raining when the hay's on the ground, raining when your lentil crops don't need it,
Right.
destroying harvests. All these things are happening.
It's turned upside down.
Correct. Correct.
So 2008, your dad was at the forefront, like being the president of the association to do with the strawberry growers and things. So he was at the forefront or at the face of the meetings with the government and all the rest. So he became privy to an agenda. What was the agenda?
Well, the agenda is where we're going to be in the next 5 or 6 years, which is Agenda 21, which
Yep.
is now Agenda 2030. So I can expand on that a little bit.
Please.
So
What does it
the entire goal of this agenda is obviously to bankrupt the Western world.
mean?
And because they need to get us into their new system that they want us to get into, which is the digital system.
Right.
And at the moment, if they came out tomorrow and said, "Righto, Helen, from now on, you're not going to have any money in your bank account. It's going to be all digital on your phone, and we're going to control it," you're going to say, "Well, I don't think that's a really good idea for me, because then I don't have any control over when I can and can't use my money." And they may link it to climate change. They'll say, "Sorry, Helen, you've driven 100 kilometres this week. That's enough. Because of emissions, we can't allow you to drive any further. We're going to switch your car off. We're going to switch your bank account off for a few days until it resets." All these sort of things are going to come in down the track if they get their way. So that's where we're going to get to, but we won't accept that today. But in 3, 4, 5 years' time, if I can fast forward to where we're going to get to, the agenda is a world war. The agenda is a shortage of food. The agenda is massive inflation. I've even been told by a bank manager that interest rates will be 15% by 2028, and I'm sure they will be, because before a big crash, like the Great Depression.
Is that the information we were getting everyone to hang on to till the
Well,
end?
it is. We'll get that back later. No, it's just a little bit later on.
Okay.
But so these things are all going to be happening in the next few years. We're going to see hyperinflation.
So hang on, let me get it straight, right? Because you're the weatherman, right? And we're getting
Yes.
a little bit off track here, right? But so there is a bigger agenda to all of this.
Yep.
And I hear how the weather plays in with climate control, because if you can get
Yes.
people seeing the turbulence and the unpredictability of the weather, then that
Yes.
gives them that's just supports that people are messing up the climate and it's their fault, right?
Yep.
But how are they messing up the weather and how are they messing with our
Yeah,
weather?
so I got a little bit excited there. Sorry, I jumped a bit further forward too quickly. But
Right.
the agenda is obviously to promote this climate change agenda. So because we're seeing more severe weather today, well, that's the theory. We're actually not. We're seeing the same amount of severe weather. However, with the geoengineering, it is making the storms much stronger. We're seeing a lot larger hail than we've ever seen before, because we're getting a lot more heating in the mid-levels. They use something which is called endothermic processes and exothermic processes, that is heating and cooling the mid-levels using the Doppler radars.
Oh, okay.
Right? So
Yep.
that's how we're getting these severe hailstorms happening all the time. And this stuff is all online too. This is not new. This is stuff that I found over the years.
Yep.
And the agenda is that because the younger generation are so influenced by social media,
Yes.
the agenda is for them to get us to believe that we are the cause of that.
Yes.
Now, the cause of it is them actually doing it by spraying chemicals into the air, which
Absolutely.
then allows them to use electromagnetic frequencies to control weather systems. They can direct hurricanes and cyclones wherever they feel like.
Yep.
They can direct storms, all these sort of things, jet streams, they can manipulate all that. The agenda is to make us believe that climate change is a real thing, that humans are causing it.
Yep.
And then from there, then they will start putting restrictions on us to be able to survive in daily life.
There's still a part of me that I mean, I'm aware of this. I've investigated this. You've lived it, right? But for people out there, who the man that's in the plane who is seeding the air with
Yes.
chemtrails, what does he think he's doing?
Well, this is the really clear point I want to make, because a lot of people don't know this. The pilot has nothing to do with this brain. It is all done remotely.
Huh?
It's
How's
all done
that?
remotely. AI. AI. It's all done remotely from the ground. It's nothing to do with the pilot. Everyone thinks that the pilots spray everyone. They don't.
Holy cow, stop press. Stop press right now. You've just blown my mind.
Yes, a lot of people don't realize this. I've been saying it for a long time. That's why pilots deny it, because they don't actually do it.
Wow.
It's all done from the ground remotely. So that's what they do. And what happens is, and what I find is happening, So every morning at 10 o'clock, there'll be an atmospheric sounding. So all the weather stations around Australia will release a helium balloon, which goes up to 100,000 feet,
Yes.
monitors the atmospheric conditions, reports back to the ground. We
Right.
put it on a graph, which is called a sounding, an atmospheric sounding,
Yep.
and it'll tell us what the atmosphere looks like, where the moisture is at every level of the atmosphere. Then what'll happen, that information will get fed back to the airlines or whoever's running this show,
Yep.
and they'll say, righto, they'll put that information into the system. The system will determine, righto, when we get the next 10 flights come from Dubai to Sydney, we need to spray a certain amount of chemical into the air to dry out the atmosphere a little bit further because it's too moist because we may see rain next week. So they do these things 7 days out. They plan a long way ahead, but it's not done by any humans in the sky. It's only done by humans on the ground.
How do they do it with humans on the ground? So what are the
Well,
chemtrails that are in here?
so the humans will input the information into the system.
Yes.
And then from the ground, they will then hit a button which releases the chemicals out of the plane.
Releases the chemicals out of the plane, but
Correct.
somebody's flying the plane, aren't they?
Yeah, but they've got nothing to do with the release of the chemicals. It's being
Oh,
done by someone
goodness.
hitting a computer on the ground.
Gotcha. They just know that they have to fly
Yeah,
a certain flight path.
correct. They just fly. So they would be told to fly over this certain flight path, and then the guy on the ground will do the rest with his computer
And
program.
then the people that are hitting the button, they think that they're just drying up the atmosphere and preparing it for an onslaught of planes coming in.
No, I would suspect that they have a fair idea what they're doing.
And what do they think they're doing?
Well, exactly what they're designed to do, dry out the atmosphere and spray where they need to spray
And change the weather.
and change the weather pattern, correct?
And are
Yep.
they aware then that what they're putting into the air has to end up falling down at some point and
Yeah.
coming up in the soil?
Absolutely, they'd have to be. Yes.
And do, I mean, how do they sleep at night? I don't know. I'm trying to think of that.
Well, that's the point. How do they sleep at night? That's the question I've been asking myself for many years. These people, money is the root of all evil, right?
Yeah.
They get paid a lot of money to do this.
They're just doing their job and they're probably not even looking at what the long-term outcome is.
Absolutely. So, and it gets worse. I mean, I can, if I can just digress for a little bit, I've heard a story. You won't believe who you run into, but sometimes you run into people. And I ran into someone at a birthday party, and he knows someone who flies parachute planes.
Okay.
And at the end of every day, they load his parachute plane up with some tanks and say, oh, I need you to go up and do another run. Hand him a paper bag full of cash. Go up and they don't even, no questions asked, just do it for me. And they do it.
Right.
So there's chemicals being dumped on us all the time.
Gosh.
And that's why we get sick all the time, because we're breathing in all these chemicals.
Yes.
You
Yes.
know, and this is why, and for years people are saying, geez, my soil levels are full of aluminium. Where's it coming from? Well, clearly we know where it's coming from.
So, from a farmer's point of view, they're testing their soil and they're finding out the differences, aren't they?
Absolutely. And it destroys the soil complex. Absolutely, it does.
And then how are they trying to keep up with that and keep their soil as good as they can?
Well, that actually costs more money because then you've got to put more chemicals into the ground to overact it, more lime, more gypsum, more other stuff to actually overcome these chemicals.
Okay,
Yeah, it's a big problem.
are they allowed to? I mean, is that outlawed?
No, they're allowed to, but it costs money.
Right.
So if you think of a broadacre farmer who has, say, a 4,000-acre farm in Horsham,
Yep.
he's got to spend a fortune to put that chemical back into the ground, lime or gypsum or whatever it might be, to get his ground back to conducive to growing good crops.
He has good soil, good ground.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's what's happening as well. All these things are costing people money.
So who's doing this? Who do we point the finger at?
Well, we can only, well, we call them, what do we call them? We call them the elites or the cabal or whatever you want to call them. It's one big system. And it's the same people that's doing everything else, right? So it's, you would say that all the governments around the world are just fronts and just front men. They're not actually, they're just doing what they're told. There's
Yeah.
other people behind them that would be calling the shots. We assume the military would be involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different to everyone else because I believe that everything is owned by the one conglomeration.
Well, I kind of see this whole world as a bit of a Ponzi scheme, and
Well, 100%. Yes.
somebody started the game, right? Someone started the game, and it started a long, long time ago. So, even today, here we are talking about 1990, the first chemtrails came out. Well, that's 45 years ago. Did I just get that right? 35 years.
35, yep.
35 years ago, 2008, your dad finds out about what they're taking the water off the farmers. So, stealth, it's by just stealth, step after step. So, by the time you and I are having this conversation here, trying to find out who's responsible is like one incredible rabbit warren where you've got to try to reverse engineer the information and follow it backwards. And that's a very difficult task.
Absolutely. And a Ponzi scheme is probably a good way of putting it because I believe, and it's pretty obvious now, all the banks, all the insurance companies, all the governments, they're all the one and the same. They're all one and the same. So 2020 was a really good example for what happened. They couldn't have been able to do 2020 without having cooperation from everyone. And the best way to do that is to own everything.
And 2020, you're talking about COVID
Yes,
and lockdowns here.
correct. Yes, that's right. So yeah, that wouldn't have happened if everyone was independent, because there would have been countries that would have said no to it, or there would have been countries that said, I'm not doing that, or whatever it might be. There wouldn't have been businesses that would have closed down. So because everything did the same, I mean, look, let's be honest. When COVID first came out, every business in the world had a QR system ready to go within about 3 weeks. Now, you don't do that unless you pre-plan it.
No.
That's impossible to do, right? And we don't need to go into that, but you know what I mean? So
Well,
everything is.
a lot of information has now come out showing the steps and the plan involved. I mean, I don't think it's any surprise for people now to know that it was planned.
Absolutely.
But we now I mean, I've got you on today because I want people to know what's happening in their skies. I want people to know the poisons and the chemicals that are coming out left, right, and center, that are affecting our weather. They're affecting our land and our crops. Right. So it's about getting everyone to believe climate change. And if you can mess up the weather, then that's evidence for people to go, oh my gosh, yes, we are. We must be doing this. Right. And they don't question any further. People start to see what's going on with the weather and our land, our farmers. What's going on for them? What's been happening here with all the weather upheaval for farmers in Australia?
Yeah, well, it's been bad in the last 5 or 6 years. We've had, well, actually, the last 10 years, we've had 3 years of severe drought, 2017 to 19, after a very good 2016. Everyone was pretty well off after 2016, and that's when it sort of changed. We had 3 dry years. 2020, 21 wasn't too bad. 22 was very wet. 23 was too wet in the spring. So it's about getting the rainfall at the right time. But what we're seeing now is things like frost, for example. So you can't insure against frost. You can't insure against flood. And they're the two things that are happening a lot recently. So farmers are finding it very, very difficult. Now, I'm not saying you can't make money in farming. There's farmers that are making money because you can't, not everyone gets affected. So, for example, in New South Wales, if I use that example, the Riverina, which is in the southern part of New South Wales, it's very, very dry. Whereas the areas north of Dubbo have been very, very wet for a few years. So you've got two alternating, you've got one state with two alternating weather patterns. So what's happening is the farmers in the Riverina are really feeling the pinch, whereas the farmers in the northern part of New South Wales are doing pretty well. They will think that the good times are going to roll on, which they're not going to because we're about to see a changing weather pattern over the next couple of years. And so it's about identifying those weather patterns and sort of being ahead of the curve, basically. Whereas I think the guys in the southern part of New South Wales haven't really adapted to that, and they're really starting to feel the pinch. I notice a lot of my subscribers, my clients, have managed to ride it out a little bit because this year, under my advice, they only put in a small amount of crop just for feed for their livestock rather than broad scale farming, knowing that full well if they spent all this money on fertilizer and chemicals, they wouldn't get it back. And that's exactly what we've seen. So that's what's happening to farmers. So every part of Australia is the same. South Australia's got two separate parts. Victoria has got Gippsland's quite wet. Other areas are dry. I mean, there's some parts of Gippsland that are really dry. Every pocket of each state is a different scenario.
So, if the farmers are following the Bureau of Meteorology and they're following the mainstream narratives on weather and stuff, they're putting money down the drain, so to speak, because they're trying to follow a system that is trying to put them down the drain.
Yes, and that's correct. And also this year, what I found here in South Australia was a lot of banks were telling farmers, you need to make money this year or we might be forced to close your farm next year.
Holy cow.
So not subscribers of mine, but others I've heard
Holy
had,
cow. That's
yeah. Well, the word is blatant manipulation, I
thank
think.
you. Thank you. That's
They're
just
forcing
insane.
the farmers to spend money they don't have.
Wow.
And it's been a poor year here in most of South Australia. There's been some areas that have been really good. So if you go to the bottom of the Yorke Peninsula, perhaps the bottom of the Eyre Peninsula, the coastal regions have been good.
Yep.
But anywhere north of that have been poor. And these guys have gone all in this year trying to make some money. And of course, we saw a huge frost in October and September and October. And when you get frost on your crops, that's never any good. A lot of hay went on. So the basic premise of a farm will be, I'll plant my crops, and if they don't survive because it goes dry in the spring, I'll cut for hay.
Yep.
And I'll still make money that way. So what happens is they all cut for hay, and then guess what happens? The rain returns, which is what we've seen from the middle of October onwards. We've seen a lot of rain in the last 6 weeks.
Gotcha. So
So
they're
it's getting very tough for the farmer to survive.
absolutely, and they're
Getting
listening
really tough.
to, poor information that's not helping them at all. And then they've got this corruption, I don't know what to
Yep.
call it. It's just disgusting to think that banks would go, geez, you better do this, or else we might have to reconsider your portfolio and, us financing and funding you.
And so just to get on that point, you remember a minute ago when I said to you that it's all one big Ponzi scheme?
Yes.
The banks would be saying that for a very good reason, because they would know that the weather's not going to be conducive in the spring.
They
They would
know.
already know
They
that. So
know.
this year's forecast from the Bureau of Meteorology was a negative Indian Ocean dipole, which is like a 2016 very wet spring. We never saw that.
Yes.
We
Yeah.
never saw it. And my forecast was very dry spring, and that's what we received.
Yeah. Yeah. And the banks, I've heard through other avenues as well, they are privy to other information.
Absolutely.
Be privy to other information.
We'll get into that later on.
Yes. Yep. Okay. So you said that, you're giving anyone that subscribes to your website and to your forecasts, they're getting good information and correct information. But you said there's change coming over the next 2 years. What is it?
Yes.
What's coming?
A drought. A drought. So at the moment we are at the top of the solar cycle. At the top of the solar cycle, we normally see El Nino events, and we're about to see a 2 year El Nino event.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't mean it's going to be a drought everywhere. It's very important to understand. This is just a generalization, what we're speaking about here with you and I.
Sure.
As a client of mine, you would get a forecast for your exact location for the 12 months, and it could be a wetter forecast if you're in a certain part of Australia. Like, for example, the East Coast may be staying on the wetter side, and the interior will stay on the dry side. But we're certainly at that point in the time, the weather works on cycles. So even though it's manipulated, we still understand that the weather will do what it does. And really, a lot of the time too, I think it's also important to point out, Helen, they just need to give it a little nudge. It's not even that much they need to really do to manipulate the weather. It's just a little nudge here and there,
Yes.
and just to get things happening in the way that they want it to happen. And so we're going to go into an El Niño in 2026, which is dry for Australia. And if they give it a little bit of a nudge, it could turn into a disaster. It could turn into a 1982 type year. We all remember Ash Wednesday year,
Yep.
which was very, very dry for Eastern Australia. It was the worst drought I can remember. Or we could see something like a 2014 year, which is sort of dry without being historically dry.
Yeah, well,
Or
I'm going to put in another little slant on that too. They don't need to, they only need to give it a nudge because, I mean, this is just going to be a little bit out there, but we collectively, energetically, whether people believe it or not, we attribute or contribute to energy and we contribute to our weather patterns. And if we're hearing in the media, the just the language that's out there now about monster storms and
yep.
tremendous hail, and if we're focusing on that, I'm sorry to say, people, but you're co-creating it. You're contributing. All someone has to do is set an idea in motion. And if 100,000 people collect
Yep.
the hook into that, you're helping create that crap.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. 100%. So our reality is our reality, right? It's
Yes.
we create our own reality.
Yes.
So just further to your point, my forecast has been for the last 3 months for farmers to start selling their livestock while the market's at the top of the market.
Gotcha.
Because we're going there, and again, the Bureau's not talking about any dry coming.
Yep.
They're talking about a La Nina for the summer.
Right.
Everyone thinks that a La Nina is wet.
Yep.
I can assure you the La Nina that we apparently have at the moment is a non-event. It's not going to happen for Australia.
But what I hear, what you're doing is you're giving people common sense information, which any farmer on the land, if they were left to their own devices, have generationally been doing anyway.
That's correct. And I'll pose this question to you. Do you know what an anomaly is? So an anomaly is a deviation from the normal.
Okay.
This is the big term that they use, anomaly. And this is how they deceive everybody.
This is
I'll tell you how, I'll tell you
landing.
how, yeah, I'll tell you how they deceive everybody, right? So with the sea surface temperatures across the world, they are very warm today. And the reason they're warm, we're told, is because of emissions, which is garbage. The reason they are warm is because, one, sunlight produces a lot of heat in the tropics. And two, we've got geothermal activity. Underwater volcanoes have been increasing since 1979. There's a professor in America, Dr. Arthur Vedderido. He's produced really good studies on this. As the volcanoes have increased underwater since 1979, so has the water temperatures. So we understand what's happening if you actually open your eyes to have a look. So we understand that that's what's happening. So what it means is the anomalies are not relevant. What they say is the Pacific is in a La Nina at the moment because it's 1 degree below normal. But we don't know what normal is. They just create a normal. They create a normal by saying we're going to adjust the temperatures every month so it looks normal, just to run a narrative that we've got a La Nina. And the reason they put, so I'll tell you, I'll give your listeners an exclusive right now. The reason they've come out yesterday and said we've got a La Nina going on is because they're going to smash Queensland and the Northern Territory and the north part of WA with cyclones this summer. We're going to get smashed with cyclones. We have a lot of heat up north. The waters are very warm.
They've
So we're
already
naturally,
started.
they've already started. So we're going to get cyclones anyway. And I wouldn't mind betting, and hopefully I'm wrong, but I wouldn't mind betting that one of the major cities in the northern part of Australia gets hit. Right?
That's
Because,
not good, nice information, but
no, it's not, but that's what's happening. So the La Nina that they're talking about is a non-event. Most of Australia is going to be very hot and dry for the next 3 or 4 months. They're only pointing it out because they're going to blame La Nina when, say, Cairns or Darwin gets hit with a cyclone. That's what they're going to say. They've always got to have a cover story in advance.
Of course.
And that's what, so listeners need to be awake to this and start getting really good information. Not just through me, there's other people out there that do it. But just use common sense, like you said before. Common sense is all it is.
Start paying attention. Don't first listen to your weather app because that doesn't bloody work.
No.
Bomb radar. Just really start putting your ear to the ground and listening to people like yourself or starting to do a bit of research into the weather because there's many other people out there that I've watched people doing YouTubes that can show you when a storm's happening and they can show you when a storm's being tampered with.
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely. Yep, that's right.
And
Yeah,
that's
and
out
it's
there for everyone.
and the amazing thing is, Helen, it's so obvious. It's not even hidden. That's the key point. This is the weather patterns. If you look at a low pressure system from 20 years ago to today, they don't even look anything alike. We can't get the so if you can imagine a perfect, you know, when you see a cyclone on a computer screen, it's perfectly circular. A low pressure system doesn't even form circular anymore. It forms in some weird object shape. It's weird.
That's what I've seen on some of the YouTubes. It
Yeah,
was a bit
because they're not, they're
mind-boggling.
manipulated. They're being tampered with. So it's
Okay,
pretty
so
obvious. It's
there's
pretty
plenty
obvious.
of ways for people to start watching the weather because if we've got some real dry stuff coming and we've got some cyclones coming, I certainly want people at the northern part of
Oh,
Australia
definitely. Yes.
keeping their ear to the ground and their eyes open.
100%. Yep, definitely.
So, wow. What's happening with our banking, Anthony?
Well, what's happening with our banking? Well, that's a long story. So we're going to do the short version today.
Okay, because we've got 19 minutes. Go.
Yep, no worries. So with our banking system, basically the way it works is clearly we as human men and women, we operate under God's law, natural law. They, however, they being the government or the world government, have created a system using Admiralty law, which is the law of the sea, maritime law. And the only way to be able to govern us as people is to create an alter ego of us, like a straw man, which is our capital letter entity, our
Corporations.
corporation. Yep. So everything that you get in the mail or anything in your name is in capital letters. That is not you. That is the alter ego. And because we accept that as us, we don't even realize that it's happening. We accept it and we become, this alter ego. They govern us. So I've been spending the last 10 years telling people, you can navigate through this. There's a way around it. When I say a way around it, There's no way around it in the longer term if they decide to go with a digital ID and lock us in on their phones, basically everything on our phone. That's going to be much harder to navigate. But we can do things like set up trusts to protect property. We can buy gold and silver because gold and silver is legal tender and we can use it amongst ourselves to trade, which I think will be relevant down the track.
Well, I think we need to self-govern. We need to look at what that means, because you said it originally. We are born here under God, under natural law, and we've been hoodwinked and hijacked, or whatever you want to call it, by systems out there that have created a corporate version of us. And we think that that's us, that we think it's who we are. We think we need licenses for everything. We think we need to register for everything. So people really need to find avenues, and there's plenty of them. I've got a guy on the radio in the last 2 weeks. I had Kel Washington from Canada.
I heard of him. Yes.
I had Mookie on from TASA, the Terra Australis groups here.
I've spoken to him as well.
So, I'm putting some people out there to talk about this very thing with people to find avenues to reclaim governance of yourself.
Actually, Mookie was one of the first that got me going in this about 7 years ago. I heard him on a YouTube thing, and I thought, this is the guy I need to. So I contacted him. And perfect sense, right? We don't need to be told what to do. We can do what we need to do.
That's right.
It's becoming harder and harder because we are the way it works is we are when we're 18 supposed to tell them that we are not this corporation. We are actually men and women, and because we don't, under their law, we accept what we're given. That's the problem we're facing today. We're all trying to escape the system at the age of 50 when we needed to
Well,
be doing it when we're 18.
there's a game being played out there, and the game that they're playing is that if you don't know the game and you don't say anything
Yes.
about it, then you're saying, yes, I'm in the game.
So under Admiralty law, if your silence is consent.
Correct.
So if you're given something in the mail and you don't respond to it, you're consenting to it. And this is the problem that we face, right? So
Correct.
it is getting a little harder to navigate today because they're starting to turn the screws a little bit. They're starting to become a little more, the ATO is really starting to become a little more hammered down on everyone. There's no more leniency anymore. So they're really going after everyone now, which is obvious. But the banking system, like I said, it's look, at the end of the day, possession is nine tenths of the law. There's legal and there's the legal side and the equity side, right? They actually have legal property over our money because it's their currency. We're using it, we're basically borrowing it. That's what people don't understand. Gold and silver is not that. Gold and silver is actual your money. I don't call the dollars that you have in your wallet money. I call it currency.
Well, nobody realizes that if you put money into the bank, you've given it to them.
Yes, correct. And the reason it's called currency is because current and sea, Admiralty law,
Correct.
right? So it's
Thank
actually
you.
their money. So I see a lot of people saying to me, I'm going to remove myself from their jurisdiction. That's fine, but you using their currency is their jurisdiction. That's where they get their jurisdiction to govern you.
And they've got the dominant financial system on this planet, even though we know that it's useless, worthless, that most countries around the world right now are bankrupt. But most people don't understand that whole concept. They've got the dominant system, so people have, I suppose, get stuck because they can't find alternatives. People thought that crypto might have been an alternative. People have looked for all sorts of different schemes and ideas to try to find alternatives. Are there?
Yeah, there is talk about deception. Crypto is another one.
Yes, I
Because,
found that. I investigated that myself.
So I've always invested in gold and silver. In fact, I've been telling most of my clients over the last 10 years, if you've got any land to sell, you should sell it and buy gold and silver. And they've done that and made an enormous amount of money. Because we're heading for a financial reset, gold and silver is the only thing that's going to survive. So your alternatives are to buy gold and silver. I buy gold and silver every week. My self-managed super fund is full of gold and silver. It doesn't have any shares in it. So if the stock market crashes, it's protected. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but gold and silver skyrocketed in the last couple of years. And it's continuing to grow because people are starting to realize that the end of the reset's coming down the track.
Well, I think Donald Trump, didn't he just say the other day that he wanted to make it, like something like stupid, like $20,000 an ounce or something?
Well, that's the only way they're going to pay off debt, Helen. They're
Oh,
clearly.
I know what they're trying to do.
Yeah, yeah. They've got so much debt, they can't never pay it off. So the only alternative is to revalue gold, which happened in 1933. And the same thing's going to happen. We're going through a new gold standard again.
Here comes the cycle again.
It's coming again, but it won't be for another 5 or 10 years, but it's coming.
But there's nothing new on this earth, is there? Nothing
Yes,
new.
that's correct. So just to answer your question, what can be done? A little bit can be done. I think if you had to ask me right now, what is the main thing we need to do? Getting your food security in order is number one. I think you should stock up on food because we're going to see food shortages in the next few years with weather events and adverse. If we have El Nino events around the world, we will see big droughts and a lot of our crops will be short stocked. So oats and grains.
They've already been instilling that fear in people a little bit, haven't they? Like through COVID and shelves being, empty, and they're still doing cycles of, not having certain products available. So it's sort of
Yep.
feeding that scarcity with people, isn't it, in
Well,
preparation?
I think the scarcity is to get the prices to rise.
Right.
Right? They're trying to make us spend more and more money. We're going to see obviously inflation in the next couple of years, and that's the part of it, the scarcity of the food. I noticed, and it's deliberate, right? It's not an accident. We're seeing a lot less stuff on the shelves these days. In fact, I think we're going to have a shortage next month before Christmas, this month, coming month. I'm
Right.
noticing it more and more. There's a lot of shortages, diesel prices going up. They
Yep.
said in the media last month, we've only got 2 weeks of fuel in this country. They're
Oh.
definitely giving us the heads up that we might see a fuel shortage. And if it's diesel, that means trucks can't run the food to the supermarkets. These things may be happening. So there's all that.
And look, what I say to people though too, well, what I'm starting to say to people is we eat too much. We eat too much.
Yeah.
We buy too many things. Instead of freaking out and trying to stock up a hell of a lot of stuff, I'll do that. But on the other hand, just start to simplify your meals and simplify the food and the things that you need. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And we're the same. We've got 4 freezers full of meat. We've got a really good, where I live here, we've got a really good co-op going on where we all get organic food from the farmers. We've got a
Oh.
big group of farmers and it's all organic, and we get, organic potatoes, lemons, limes, all from the farmers. It's a really good group that we've got going here, and that includes meat, beef and cattle and lamb and stuff like that. So we've got a lot of food in stock. We've got rice. I mean, we don't eat rice, but we've got 200 kilos of rice just in case.
But they're great ideas. What you just said then is like co-op, that word,
Yes,
that.
yes. And so at the moment, the co-op is working and we're using cash. But we know that that's not sustainable. Eventually, we'll be using gold and silver to trade because that will be our way around the system.
All right.
Because back in another 5 or 10 years, we might be told what we can and can't spend. Right? And then everyone's going to go hungry. So the idea is if you've got silver, you'll be able to trade a silver coin for a couple of kilos of potatoes, for example.
Okay, so everybody just needs to start thinking about playing a new game.
Correct.
Playing
Yeah,
new.
absolutely.
Don't get too frightened about this. Don't get too serious about this. Just see it as playing a new game and start setting up a few things ready for the game.
Yeah, that's right. I always say prepare for the worst and hope for the best. And look, the worst thing that can happen is you've got freezers full of food and the shortage never comes. But
Yes.
better be prepared. I mean, it doesn't hurt to go and buy some basmati rice and put it in the in, you know, seal it in a drum, and you've got 200 kilos if you need it down the track because we may need it. Buy some gas bottles. Cook on your, you might need to cook on your barbecue for a while. Who knows where we're going to get to?
Well, and very easy. I've got here at home is just one of the little gas, hot plates, right? So,
Correct. Yeah.
there's very simple ways to just have some backup.
Well, one thing we know, Helen, is that electricity is becoming unreliable because they're getting rid of the coal, and we know that wind and solar ain't going to cut it.
No.
Not for a population as big as ours. So we are going to start seeing a lot of blackouts over time.
Yeah,
So
well,
you
we
know
got,
what?
yes,
You know
rolling.
what? Yeah. So get gas bottles and gas cookers. Absolutely. We've got heaps of gas bottles and gas cookers ready to go. We've done all those things. We've been prepping for a while with that. And it's not to scare everyone, it's just to be prepared.
No, it's not to scare everybody. I mean, and again, though, we don't want to fuel these agendas with fear. Like I said about the weather, people have to realize that your energy co-contributes to something positive or something negative. So don't get scared about this. Just get out there and get active. Find out who are the co-ops around you, who are the farmers, the markets around you, and just start doing a little bit of planning. Just plan B. Just plan B.
Always have a plan B. That's right. And like I said, I've never been fearful of what's happening.
Yeah.
You've just got to adapt. You've got to adapt. Have a plan. Like I said, we've been buying gold and silver for 10 years.
Yes.
We've been storing food for a while. We've generators, these sort of things. We have these things. We don't have them because we're in a panic. We have
No.
them because if the worst case ever comes, we can just go into our garage, grab the stuff, and not have to panic at all.
Yes, yeah, because you
That's
don't really
all.
want to be reliant on this system out there
Yep.
that seems to be trying desperately to get everybody like cash poor, even
Yep.
asset poor. I mean, all the taxes are trying to take any
Yeah.
bit of cash away from people. I work part-time in a conveyance in the conveyancing industry, and the amount of investors that are selling their investment properties because they just can't.
Land tax.
Correct, correct.
Oh, horrendous,
And
horrendous.
they don't realize that the whole agenda out there is absolutely set up to make them do exactly that, right?
Yep, and we've always been taught that property is the number one asset.
Yes,
When in fact,
bricks and mortar. Absolutely.
gold and silver is the number one asset, because I don't know if you want to go on to the exclusive or not, but
Yes, because we've got 7 minutes to go. Absolutely.
so because hyperinflation is coming and we're coming to the end of the system, we know this is happening.
How do
We're
you
in
know?
the, well, because the bank manager told me for a start. But it's obvious. It's obvious that gold and silver doesn't make moves the way it's moving at the moment unless someone knows that either a war is coming or a financial collapse is coming. And I think both of those things are probably likely in the next few years.
So you know, because like I said, you said 1933, what happened with gold back then?
Yep, correct.
No, because history had shows you the steps.
In 1933, they revalued gold, doubled the price overnight.
Right,
And that
okay.
was to pay their debt off, right? And that was,
And Trump is now
I
revaluing.
think he'll do, I th well, I think he will. Eventually, he will. Yeah, I'm not sure when. But in any case, just so that you know, or your listeners know, I also set up private trusts for people.
Yep.
And one of my clients that I set one up for 3 years ago has got a really good bank manager in Western Australia who I managed to contact. It just happens to be awake, believe it or not. Can't give this lady any info inside the branch, but can go for lunch and talk to them there. And they actually said in 2023 that by their plan is by 2028, interest rates will be 15%,
Right.
which is going to force a lot of people out of business.
Oh, is it what?
And it is going to force the housing market to implode on itself because
Absolutely.
we've got so many people. I mean, we've got people borrowing a 5% deposit, right?
I remember it was in the 1980s. I was doing conveyancing then, and there was a crash. The interest rates went through the roof.
17%, yeah.
That's right. But the problem, the well, not the problem, I suppose the positive out of that was that most people had quite a lot of equity in their homes. So,
Yes.
if they got hit hard, they still had enough. They came out with enough for a deposit for another house.
And
Now,
that's
in this day and age, people don't have any equity.
the big difference today, Helen. We're going to see a financial collapse because the amount of debt people have today is frightening.
Yes, it
And
is.
I'll tell you right now, I don't have any debt. I've sold all my property. I've
I
nothing.
don't
I've
either.
no debt
I don't
whatsoever, no
either.
credit cards.
Yep,
We've
I
set
did.
ourselves, we've actually set ourselves up for this a long time ago,
I did too. I did too.
because we can see what's happening. So our bank manager confirmed it with us that, or one of the bank managers we know, that by 2028 it's going to get tough for a lot of people. So all everyone listening out there should plan for that.
Yes.
That we're going to see really big hyperinflation, which means a really big increase in prices. So your groceries will double, your rent will double, your petrol will double. Everything in life is going to increase in price.
Yep.
And that's what happens before the Great Depression. And that's what happened in 1929. And the same thing's about to happen in the next 5 years.
And that's going to squeeze everybody out of ownership of
It's
anything.
going to be very scary. It's actually going to be so scary, Helen, that we're actually planning to move to Malaysia
You said that to me.
as a longer term plan, because I'm very lucky that I can run a remote business. I just need a laptop to work.
Sure.
And we believe that in the next few years, it's going to become so unaffordable here that if we live over there and I still earn Australian dollars, over there it's like a tenth of what it costs to live here.
Okay.
A much better lifestyle. In fact, Malaysia's beautiful. There's a lot of Asian countries that are very good. Their food standards, by the way, they're not allowed to spray glyphosate on their wheat or rice so they don't poison their food.
So this is all going to happen here in Australia, but it's not going to happen elsewhere.
No, I think it'll still happen overseas, but you can live a better standard of living overseas.
Okay.
So the only reason we're thinking of doing it is because I can work remotely. I can still earn Australian dollars. And instead of spending it here where it costs a fortune to live now, so at the moment, I would say most families, as a stretch, say you're renting and you're buying groceries, you'd be paying $70,000 or $80,000 a year now
Right.
just to put food on the table. Back in the old days, it was like $10,000. In Asia, it's still $10,000 or $20,000 a year. That's all you need.
Okay.
So we can make a much better living over there. We're probably doing it more for our kids, really,
Yep.
so that we can help them survive down the track.
So we're letting people know now, lighten the load, lighten
Yes,
the load,
out of
right?
debt, out of debt. Buy gold and silver if you can.
Plan and get out of debt as quickly as you can.
Our plan B, is gold and silver. Maybe move somewhere if you can, if you're still in a living where it's less, much more affordable,
Yeah.
because it's going to get very bad in this country in the next few years. And also stock up on food just as a backstop, just in
Well,
case.
essentially, we're just saying wake the hell up. Wake
Yep.
the hell up.
I
Okay.
think so. I think most people are getting there, though. I think we're finding, Helen, that as time goes on, people are starting to really start saying, hang on a minute. And I say this all the time. Tell me one thing that a government's ever done that helps people. One thing.
Yes.
And you can't.
Yes.
All they do is increase taxes, make it harder for us. If you want to put a garden fence up, you've got to get all these permits and pay all these fees.
Oh, I know.
And
It's.
that's all deliberate. It's all deliberate to make us spend money.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and also too, just to finish off the banking system we're talking about, a lot of people think they want to tax us because they want the money. That's not actually the case. They can print money whenever they like, just out of thin air.
Yes.
What they actually want to do is make sure we don't have it in our pockets. That's why they're fining us and taxing us. It's to take the money out of our pockets so we can't live a fruitful life, which is why we're thinking of moving to Asia.
Yep. No
Even
cash.
if it's even if it's only temporary, yeah.
No cash and no assets. Yep.
That's right. That's what they're trying to do.
So own nothing and be happy. That crazy.
That well, they've told us in 20, there was another thing. I saw that in 2016. I thought, what the hell is this about? And then what you think, well, they're telling us.
Yeah.
So,
So
yeah,
wake
we've
up everybody and start looking at ways to be self-governed. Yep.
and live and live your best life.
Yeah, yeah.
Live your best life. Yeah, we can still live our best life. There's no question about that.
Well, we can create anything that we want if we put
Yeah.
our minds to it, and that's what people have to understand. So you've got to break free from the programming and conditioning that all of us have been put up.
Yep.
Government conditioning, system programming. Wake up
Yep.
and start looking at how you will look after
Yeah.
yourself and live your own life. And you're
Yep.
absolutely right. I've created heaven on earth. I live the life that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
All I'm doing is encouraging people to do the same, which is what you're doing as well.
Yep. Don't believe in never. There's always alternatives. Always.
I love that. Don't believe in never.
That's
There's
always been my go-to saying. Don't believe in never. You can do whatever you like. You just have to believe it. There's always alternatives. Just find the right people. It's really that simple.
That's a great way to leave this show. Thank you so much, Anthony.
No
Anthony,
worries at
can you
all.
tell us your website, please, for people who want to talk
Sure.
about
Yeah.
weather?
So my website is avweather.net.
Yes.
You'll find me on social media under avweather. You can contact me anytime, even if you don't want to become a subscriber, about any topics whatsoever. I'm more than easy to find. You can find me on social media or my website. Send me an email. I'll be more than happy to get in touch.
Fabulous. Hey, it's been a pleasure, Anthony. Thank you so much.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's been a great honor to be on your show.
Okay, thank you.